Chapter 18. Ethan gazed down from the hilltop, horror-struck by the devastation stretching out before him. As far as the eye could see, not a hint of life was visible, not even the ruined stumps of trees or the bones of the animals that had once roamed the forests. The destruction was absolute. "What do you think?" Shinzan was standing beside him, now in the form of his father. "What am I seeing?" "This is what your world will soon look like," he replied. "This is its fate. Not if you're dead." Shinzan shook his head, chuckling. "You still think you can defeat me? After everything you have seen, you still cling to that sliver of hope. I will admit that you have given me more trouble than most. But in the end, your efforts will be useless. Worse than that, they will be forgotten. That is the measure of your worth, is it not? How long you are remembered? I, on the other hand, do not care about such petty concepts. You think I care about who remembers me? No, you are not like the rest of your feeble race. You would sacrifice everything for the sake of lesser beings." Shinzan huffed a laugh. "Actually, that is even more pathetic. In your eyes, maybe. But all you do is torture people, ruin lives, and spread pain and death. What's more pathetic than that?"
Shinzan shrugged.
"A mere distraction, nothing more. Mortal lives are inconsequential. I am eternal. I will never cease to be. When I kill your kind, I do nothing more than cause the inevitable to happen a bit sooner."
He gestured to the ruined landscape.
"Not even Lumnia is forever. Had I not come, it would still end as you see it now. Is it not better to have served a purpose? One that will endure forever?"
"You really think you're immortal?"
"Of course I am. I have watched the birth of stars and then watched them die a million of your mortal lifetimes later. I have travelled distances so vast that your tiny mind could not possibly fathom the concept. The ocean of the cosmos is my true home, and I shall return there when I am done with this world. All trace of you and your people will have disappeared. It will be as if you never existed. Only I will remember you, and for that you should be grateful. At least there is one place that you will endure for eternity."
He tapped his head with his finger and smiled.
"You are not God," Ethan retorted. "You may think you are, but to me you're just a disease, one I intend to cure."
"God?" scoffed Shinzan.
"The primitive notion of an all-powerful creator has always amused me. Why do some mortals cling to such ridiculous ideas?"
He let out a sigh.
"Comfort, I suppose, to give your life meaning when none exists. If there were a god, would it not stop me?"
Ethan gave him a sideways glance and grinned.
"Maybe God is stopping you. Then it must truly care for Lumnia above all other worlds, for I have never been stopped before."
Shinzan gave a flick of the wrist.
"But why waste time? I did not come here to debate with you, nor to convince you of what you already know in your heart to be true."
"Then why are we here?"
"You will see."
"Please," begged Cat. "You have to stop this."
Ethan was standing inside a large chamber. A circular table in the center had various maps and other random papers scattered about its top. Sitting around this, in addition to Cat, were six men, all bearing the crest of Ralmaria. Five of these he did not recognize, though King Yularian he most certainly did. He was facing his daughter, red-faced and furious. Shinzan was alongside Ethan.
"Don't worry," he said. "They can't see us.
He leaned slightly forward to look at the empty space on Ethan's far side.
Isn't that so?
The same young woman he had seen at the gate before entering the heart of Lumnia appeared beside him. She wore an expression of great anguish, with eyes downcast and hands folded inside the sleeves of her gown.
She does not enjoy speaking to me, Chinzan added, with an almost boyish smirk.
What is this? Ethan demanded.
His enemy did not reply. Instead, he pointed over to the scene unfolding before them. Yularion responded to his daughter's plea.
I have no choice, Katjana.
Yes, you do, she contended hotly. You can give Ethan a chance to negotiate.
He sniffed.
Ethan has betrayed us once already. I will not allow him the opportunity to do so again.
He was only trying to prevent a war, she said,
tears beginning to well in her eyes.
You must know that.
And he does this by killing the king of Kaitain? Tell me, how does murder prevent war?
It wasn't murder, she shot back. He had no choice. King Jadris had already attacked 3 elf settlements, and he was planning to do the same to a 4th.
There is no evidence of this, only the word of the elves.
And mine, she added.
Yularion sighed heavily.
I know you love him. Believe me, I wish more than anything that things hadn't turned out this way. But there is no turning back.
He reached over to place his hands on her shoulders, and then sighed when she leaned away.
I'm sorry, Katjana. My decision is made. Ethan Dragonvane has been declared an enemy of Ralmaria, and soon Altheona will join with us in our cause.
Lineal will never go along with this, she said. He'll never fight his own cousin.
Lineal Dragonvane will...
The general just to his left cleared his throat, stopping the king in mid-sentence.
I think that is perhaps a matter best discussed later, Your Highness, don't you?
Yularion flashed an angry glance at the man. Then, after a moment's reflection, he nodded.
Yes, you are right.
He turned back to Kat.
I ask that you do not return to Kaitain. I want you to stay here until this business is settled.
You know I won't do that, she snapped. I leave first thing in the morning.
She rose sharply and headed toward the door, pausing just as she touched the knob.
And father, if you go through with this, I swear you will never see me again.
The door closed loudly behind her. Yularion stared at it for a long time. The man sat opposite him was the first to speak.
Your Highness, he began. We cannot allow her to inform Dragonvane of our plans. She must remain here.
Yularion finally dragged his eyes away from the exit.
She knows nothing, he said. At least nothing that could harm us. Please, Your Highness, the man pressed. You must insist that she stays. If she has discovered that Lineal Dragonvane is with us...
The king's fist slammed hard down onto the table, causing the papers to fly about. His voice was close to a shout.
I've already told you. She knows nothing. Do not presume to tell me what I must do regarding my own daughter. Am I understood? Indeed, Your Highness, he replied. We understand.
Another short silence developed, during which the generals began exchanging several furtive glances. This did not go unnoticed by Yularion. Alarm bells immediately started to clamour in his head. His eyes shot to the door, and his hand drifted to the dagger on his belt. The general sitting to his left suddenly sprang up, blade already drawn. Yularion grabbed his wrist and slammed it hard down on the table, dislodging the weapon.
Guards!
He shouted. The rest of the assembly had already risen and were converging, each one of them wielding a dagger or a long knife. Yularion, however, was not going to make himself an easy victim. Putting all of his body weight behind it, he kicked out at the first attacker to reach him, sending the man staggering back into those close behind. This gave him just enough space to race past them and rush to the door. It swung open an instant before he reached it. Two of his personal guards were standing there. He tried to pass between them, but they closed in to block his path. His eyes shot wide as a dagger plunged into his back. Blind rage blotted out the pain.
"Traitors!" he shouted. "All of you! Traitors!"
He was still cursing them as both guards shoved him back inside the chamber. Slashing wildly, he tried to free himself from the grip of his five attackers. He managed to inflict several minor wounds, but it made little difference to the outcome. Three more daggers quickly sank into his body, the final one a fatal strike to the heart. As the dying Eularion glared at his attackers, in a final act of contempt, he spat blood full into the face of the nearest one. An instant later, he collapsed to the floor. The five commanders and two guards stood over him, stone-faced and silent, as they watched the light fade from his eyes.
"And now, for the final matter," said the man who had dealt the killer blow.
Ethan could scarcely believe what he had just witnessed.
"This would never happen," he insisted.
"I'm afraid it will," Shinzan countered.
"And before you say I am a liar," he flicked a hand at the spirit of Lumnia. After several seconds, she reluctantly nodded.
"It could be true, but this is only a possible outcome. Nothing is certain."
"I think you mean probable," Shinzan corrected, before turning back to Ethan. "So you see, even if you did find a way to vanquish me, nothing will have changed. Your kind will continue to suffer, and you, your suffering will be the most terrible of all." The room began to fade.
"There is no need to show him this," Lumnia objected.
Shinzan sneered.
"Oh, I think there is."
Ethan now found himself inside a spacious bedchamber. Kat was pacing back and forth in front of a hearth, muttering furiously to herself. The sound of a knock on the door sent a wave of panic through him. There was only one reason why Shinzan would want him to see this. "That's enough," he said.
"No,"
his tormentor replied, his tone hard and unyielding.
"In fact, this is only the beginning."
Ethan looked appealingly at the spirit of Lumnia, but she remained silent and stoic about what was unfolding. Her emotionless response sparked a moment of fierce frustration. Surely she had something to offer. Kat answered the door. Three servants brought in a light meal of fruits, cheese, and wine.
"I'm not hungry," she told them.
Heedless of this, they set out the repast on a table before leaving the room. Kat continued to pace for a time longer. Eventually, she sat down and picked her way through the fruit until finding a temptingly plump red cherry. She eyed it for a moment before popping it into her mouth. The effect was virtually instantaneous. Her hands clutched desperately at her throat. Wheezing and coughing, her face gradually turned a sickly shade of purple. As she fell from her chair, writhing in agony, blood trickled from her nose and from the corners of her mouth. Ethan fought to contain the cry of anguish seeking to burst forth. He would not let Shinzan see him wail. "It's only an illusion," he kept telling himself. "Kat is alive. She is safe."
"You would think they might have used something less painful," Shinzan remarked. "At least her father died quickly.
They must have really hated her."
Kat's agony continued for another full minute, her body twisting itself into ever more convoluted shapes in a vain attempt to ease the suffering. Finally, mercifully, it was over. Again and again, Ethan kept reminding himself that none of it was real.
"You have made your point," said Lumnia.
"Not yet, I haven't," Shinzan told her.
"But I soon will."
"Does this have to happen?" Ethan asked Lumnia. "Does it have to end this way?"
She continued to stare at the floor.
Nothing is certain. Not even I can predict what must be.
Don't let her fool you, Shinzan interjected. She knows full well that this is what destiny holds for you.
He gave a mocking laugh.
She enlists your help, using the vague notion of hope as bait. She tells you a future that has almost no chance of coming to pass. She entices you with dreams that will never come true.
And what do you offer? Scoffed Ethan. Certain death? More pain?
I have already explained this to you once, he replied. Death is a certainty, as is pain. What I am offering is truth.
He sniffed at Lumnia.
Which is more than I can say for her.
Ethan expected a rebuttal, but she said nothing.
I still prefer her lies to your truth,
Ethan told him.
Shinzan laughed. You say that now, but there is more for you to see, and I think once you have, then you will at last know what you must do.
Then let's get it over with. As he finished speaking, Ethan saw a single tear falling from Lumnia's cheek.